For many pregnant women, prenatal care is available every step of the way to make sure their baby is developing normally and will be delivered safely. What may be lost in that, however, is the focus on expectant mothers themselves. And if a mother's health becomes a second thought, the consequences can be tragic.
A new report from ProPublica and NPR finds that in the U.S., women are more likely to die from pregnancy-related issues than anywhere else in the developed world, and by a significant margin. And well over half of those deaths have been deemed preventable.
Nina Martin is a reporter for ProPublica covering gender and sexuality, and she co-authored the piece titled The Last Person You'd Expect to Die in Childbirth. Nina, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
So how striking are the numbers on maternal deaths in the United States compared to the rest of the world?
They're pretty striking. In the U.S., the maternal death rate is three times as high as in Canada. It's, you know, six times higher than in Scandinavia. It's more than twice as high as in Great Britain, which is a country that has also a lot of immigration and many of the same kinds of issues that demographic issues that you know are sometimes cited as causes of the higher maternal death rate in the U.S. I think the really important number in a lot of ways isn't just the death rate; it's the rate of women who nearly die. For every woman in the U.S. who dies, and we think there's about 700 to 900 of them a year from maternal related causes, so pregnancy related causes, an estimated 65,000 women nearly die. And often there's very little difference between the two deaths except luck or bad luck. And so really the striking number is you know, those two things together, deaths and near deaths.
And there's been progress made in making sure that babies survive, but what trends are we seeing in mothers surviving?
Well, there have been enormous progress. You know, if you compare maternal deaths to, say, the beginning of the 20th century, there's obviously been enormous progress in the U.S., as there has been throughout the developing world, in terms of reducing maternal deaths. What happened about 50 years ago is that the death rate in the U.S. for mothers reached was really brought under control, and everybody said, hey, that's great, that problem is done. And the focus turned to infants, babies and infants, who are, you know, have always been much more likely to die in childbirth than mothers. And so there's been this enormous attention, you know, political, social, funding-wise, and then also within the medical profession and sort of at hospitals and among doctors and nurses, in really really focusing on the baby and the baby's health. And what's happened is that there's been this kind of assumption that has crept into a lot of places, including the medical profession particularly, that it's really the babies who are in danger. And moms are pretty okay. Moms can take care of themselves. Childbirth usually goes pretty well. There's no need to think about them. There's not as much focus on them. There's not as much need to focus on the mom. And so what has ended up happening is that there's been this sort of lack of recognition that, in fact, pregnancies and childbirths have become more complicated for a lot of demographic reasons. Moms are getting older. They're getting heavier. They're coming into pregnancy with more pre-existing conditions. Our healthcare system is really fractured, and people get lost, you know, in the cracks a lot. And so there's been kind of a sort of this, so that doctors and nurses and hospitals very often are not prepared when the emergency happens, and those are really more frequent than people realize.
I think an older term is a woman having died in childbirth, but what we're really talking about here is a maternal period, and what time period is that you're looking at for this data?
So for the CDC, the way they define, basically the maternal period is any time during during pregnancy to the end, to a year within the end of pregnancy. So basically a year after a child is born. And one of the really striking things about that is that a lot of recent research shows that the majority, and in some cases quite a strikingly large majority, depending on the state, of maternal deaths and also near deaths, near misses, occur in the postpartum period. People think of childbirth, a death in childbirth, as being Downton Abbey, Sybil dying in Downton Abbey. And in fact, many deaths and near deaths don't, or life-threatening complications don't emerge until after a woman has already gone home from the hospital. And they may, depending on the kind of complication, heart-related complications, for example, cardiomyopathies, they may not emerge for weeks or months after a woman has gone home from the hospital.
We're talking with Nina Martin right now. She's a reporter for ProPublica, and she co-authored the piece titled "The Last Person You'd Expect to Die in Childbirth." And Nina, we don't have time to go into all of the twists and turns of the story that you're referencing in that title, but I do want to give our listeners a sense of the kind of stories that you encountered. Lauren Bloomstein was a neonatal intensive care nurse herself, gave birth to a healthy child of her own in the hospital she worked at, but died a day later. What were the points in Lauren's case where the system failed her?
The system failed Lauren pretty much from the beginning, from the moment she went to the hospital. She had had a really healthy pregnancy. She was beloved at the hospital. She chose to give birth at the hospital, you know, in large part because she felt really comfortable with her colleagues, her OBGYN. She thought she would get great care. They wanted to give her great care, but nobody was paying attention to the fact that when she entered the hospital, despite having had a perfect pregnancy, she came in with very elevated rates of blood pressure, a rate so high that it actually meets the clinical definition of preeclampsia. And her high blood pressure continued throughout the course of her delivery. She had a pain at one point that was epigastric pain, and that's actually a signal of liver involvement, which is like severe preeclampsia, but it was misdiagnosed and thought to be basically back labor, and so they gave her more of an epidural. And so she gave birth. The baby was fine. She seemed glowing. You can see the video on our website. It's heartbreaking. She had and then within about an hour and a half after that, really started to complain of major pain. And once again, the pain was misdiagnosed as being gastric pain. It was her blood pressure was kind of misdiagnosed as not being high enough as far as her doctors and nurses were concerned, to count as preeclampsia, which was incorrect. It was at that point severe preeclampsia, and then this kind of continued on and on throughout the night, one of the really heartbreaking, until she had a stroke, a massive stroke, and one of the really heartbreaking things about it is that her husband was a doctor, Larry Bloomstein, and he was with her the whole time, and he understood what was going on. He's not an OBGYN, he's an orthopedic trauma surgeon, but he understood that this was not right, that he recognized that it was preeclampsia. He tried to get the doctors and the nurses to pay attention. He tried to get specialists to come in and look at her, and people just sort of kept assuming. I think really they didn't have standards in place to really understand when to go into crisis mode. They didn't understand really clearly what the crisis point was, but also, there's this thing that so many doctors and researchers have told us about, which is that you just really expect everything to be okay. And so there's just this constant expectation that really, it's just a little off, but it's really fine. It's fine. It's Lauren. She's healthy. It's fine. Until suddenly that clearly wasn't true. She had a stroke and she died soon afterwards.
Well, Nina, there's so much more to cover in the report, but we are short on time. Very, very briefly, the British system looks at these kinds of deaths as a system failure. Is there any movement in the U.S. to adopt a similar system?
There are a couple of bills pending in Congress right now that would improve the way that states collect data and analyze data around maternal deaths within the states. Unfortunately, there is no federal system, and there probably will not be a federal system, so we really have to depend on the states. And as you can imagine, some states are more interested in looking at these issues and spending money on them than others. So
we'll have to leave it there. Nina, thank you so much for joining us. That was Nina Martin. She's a reporter from ProPublica covering gender, sexuality, and women's health, and she co-authored a new report on maternal deaths. This is Central Time.